I just want y'all to know that I taught this message to my dog on Tuesday, as y'all know. If you follow Moms with Swords Instagram, I even put it a little Instagram story, and you got to see Toby under his cover. I was preaching, and he was sleeping. But after I preached that message, the Lord totally changed it. I was up at 3 o'clock last night, and I was picturing myself up here teaching to y'all, and it was totally a little bit different from what he had given me. Then I finally fell back asleep after I was writing some stuff down, mentally writing stuff down. I went back to sleep, and at 6 o'clock, my oldest had to leave. She was leading worship at a church down the road with her chapel band, and she left, and I heard her leave, and that woke me back up. And so I went back over, and God gave me more stuff. So look at your neighbor and say, I have no idea what she's going to say today, but buckle your seatbelt, because it's going to be Jesus. It ain't going to be joy. Hallelujah. So I'm a little tired, so I will be on my couch this afternoon if y'all need me. But I am excited about this word, excited about this word, a little bit mad at Jesus for changing it around, but I know it was even in the prayer room, God, two of my prayer leaders prayed and they used like the words that God has for me to teach on today. So I know it's his word, and if I know that, I can go. So, but just put your seatbelt on because I don't know what we're doing. Look at all these notes. All right, we're going to continue this week this theme of ascend and studying the eagle. I was actually talking to our youth pastor here at church last night. He was asking about the session, and I was telling him about eagles, and I'm like, yeah, you know, everybody's been there, done that. Everybody's talked about eagles, but I just felt like, and he's like, I never have. I might have to do that. So I'm like, yes, do it. Because I thought everybody had, you know, has done teachings on the eagle, but it was kind of refreshing to know, no. So maybe I just believe this is new and God's going to put his rhema on it and it's going to be totally for us. So we're continuing the study of the eagles. And last week we had to talk about freedom, and that is the very most known characteristic of an eagle is that it's our symbol, our United States symbol of freedom. But today we're going to, and next week, because it's such a big deal about the eagles that I've actually split it into two teachings. But we're going to today talk about the characteristic of the eagle's vision. And I just got chills even just saying that word, vision. It is said that the eagle's vision, that they have their eyes occupy 50% of the head, compared to humans, 5%. Eagles have the best eyesight in the animal kingdom. It is estimated to be 4 to 8 times more powerful than humans. They have excellent color vision. Now, some of these characteristics are just astonishing to me. They can detect and make out the different patterns on a squirrel's back. They are capable of seeing fish that are countershaded in the water from several hundred feet above. They can identify a rabbit moving almost a mile away, flying at an altitude of 1,000 feet over open space. They could spot at almost 3 square miles from a fixed position. Their vision is incredible. Vision is the faculty or state of being able to see. God has given this magnificent bird its vision to sustain its life. And moms, I'm here to tell you, if you don't have a vision, you don't have life. Proverbs 28 says, without vision, the people go wild. We, like the eagles, must have vision. Helen Keller, the very famous author and political activist, at 19 months old, and so many of you have a 19-month-old, at 19 months old, contracted a disease, probably scarlet fever, that left her both blind and deaf. And a very famous quote of hers is, The only worse thing than being blind is having sight but no vision. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. I believe we have so many moms that have their sights set on noble things. Good education, a perfect husband or a perfect wife, a wonderful job, a wonderful education. Those are noble things to set your sight, but that is not vision. Vision is very different. Vision is very different. We're going to talk about vision and the importance of vision, and we're going to contrast it with plans and the importance of a plan. Because, y'all, I want to participate in the plan that God has laid out for my children. I want His plan, not my plan. I want His vision, not my vision. I want to see things as He does. Plan has actually two definitions, and I want to read both of these. Plan in the noun tense means something that a person intends to do, a set of actions that have been thought of as a way to achieve something. That's the noun part of this word. But then you got to look at the verb tense, to think about and arrange the parts or details of, to intend or expect to do something. So I would say you cannot have one without the other. Or you can have one without the other, but I believe you'll be very frustrated. You must have a plan to execute a plan. And to execute a plan, you must have first thought of a plan. Now, plan in Scripture, in the New Testament, plan is always associated with counsel. Counsel in the Greek word in the New Testament, it's in the Greek called boule. And it means deliberate wisdom. Deliberate wisdom. Moms, to have vision, it will take deliberate wisdom. And if you're a wise mom, and I believe you are because you're sitting in this room or you're listening by podcast, it will take deliberate counsel. Deliberate. You must be deliberate to have vision. We're going to look at a section of scripture that I believe is going to be a framework for us in this idea of vision and plan. It's Psalm 127. And there's something very interesting about this psalm. As I was preparing for this session, the Lord had me back thinking about birds several sessions ago. And I had thought that immovable was going to be the session that we were going to dissect the birds. I didn't really know for sure it was the eagle, but it wasn't. And finally, before this session, the Lord gave me that word ascend, and then I started with the eagle. And then I started looking in the Psalms, and I again, I'm 46 years old. I've been a Christian since I was 8, following hard after Jesus since my college years. But I'd always see the Psalms of ascent. Anybody seen that in the Psalms? You see the Psalms of ascent? And of course, this time it caught my eye because we're doing ascend. And so it was a psalm of ascent. I was like, oh my gosh. So I did some research, and y'all, there are 15 psalms of ascent. I'm going to give you a little Bible history. When you see that, what that means is the Jewish people would every year climb up the temple steps, and there were 15 steps. They would climb up these 15 steps to go to the feast. And every step they took, they were ascending higher and higher and higher, and they would stop at a step and they would recite one of the Psalms of ascent. So I was like, Lord, that's so cool, but I only have 8 weeks. How can I get these 15 Psalms into 8 weeks? Because as the Jewish people did, I just believe all 8 weeks, y'all, prophetically in the spiritual realm, you and I are going higher and higher. We are going from a lower position to a higher position in our mothering, in just who we are as women and daughters of the Most High God, as wives, as sisters. We are going higher and higher. So today we get to look at one of these Psalms. One of my favorite parts of scripture is in this psalm. And I just believe even as it's read, as the Jewish people, we're just gonna ascend. So picture the Jewish people. They would ascend. Let me turn this on mute. They would ascend the steps and they would read, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Eternal stands watch over the city, those who guard it have wasted their time. God provides for his own. It is pointless to get up early, work hard, and go to bed late, anxiously laboring for food to eat. For God provides for those he loves, even while they are sleeping." I just had to stop here. Now, this was something that happened Monday. God just arrested me and just told me to stop here and look at you and tell you, you are the one that Jesus loves. My pastor on Sunday morning says it all the time. In another translation, it says, "He gives to his beloved sleep. Daughter, you are his beloved." Your father, your earthly father, may never let you feel loved or beloved. I am here to tell you that your father, your heavenly father, is madly, recklessly in love with you, and he wants to give you peace and rest even while you're sleeping. He loves you. He provides for those he loves. And listen, you don't even have to earn it. We talked about that last week. You don't have to do anything. Even those that are far off, that have never made a commitment to Jesus, he loves and is going after them. A madless pursuit. He loves you this morning. Somebody in here must have needed to know that. Your earthly father may never have shown you love, but your heavenly father delights in everything you do. Okay, next slide. Know this. Now, this is my favorite verse in this whole passage. Children are a gift from the Eternal. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Your sons born in your youth are a protection like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Happy is the man who has his quiver full, for they will help him and protect him when he's old. He will not be humiliated when he is accused at the gate, for his sons will stand with him against the enemies. Vision or a plan. Y'all, I want to tell you that Daniel's and Esther's don't just happen. You don't just get lucky and have a Daniel or have an Esther. I believe it takes deliberate wisdom. It takes deliberate counsel, and it takes vision to produce hearts like Daniel, who would stand up in a Babylonian society and say, "I will not eat this food because I will not defile myself." Esther's that will say, "I will, for such a time as this, I will stand up and speak on behalf of my people. Y'all, that is what I want for my kids. More than I want a good education, a good husband, them to be a good mother, a good father. I want them to be radically pursuers of Jesus. That's my vision for my kids. I have lots of moms that come to me and say, is it possible for our kids to serve Jesus in what they're coming, what's coming at them? And I say, yes, it is. And it's hard to believe it. But that's why it's so vital that we must have vision. We must have vision. Vision sees beyond what is seen. Vision sees what is beyond what is seen. I want a Daniel. I've got a son. I want him to be like Daniel. And I've got two daughters. I want them to be like Esther. So I'm going to do what I can do, partnering with the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this psalm and break it down. I want to break it down. We're going to start with verse 1 because this, to me, is the crux of this message today. It says, unless the Eternal builds the house. That's the first for a plan, for vision. Listen, this is the authority thing right here. This sets the authority, decides who's in charge right here. Unless the Lord builds the house. Listen, God is the builder. God has already set forth a plan in your children. God has already a purpose and a plan, a target, a mark. He's already planned it out. The Bible tells us that. He is fashioned and formed. And Jeremiah, the most popular verse that everybody can quote, I know the plans I have for you. We're going to get into that in just a second. God has a calculated purpose for your child, each one of them. But God needs to work through somebody. So guess whose job that is? Mine. God has a calculated plan, and He is the builder. Listen, those kids in your home are His kids. They are His kids first. Mom, hard to believe, and I don't know that my mama ever even believed this, He loves them more than you do. I promise you, He loves them more than you do. They are His kids. They are His kids. And He is the builder. He is the blueprint giver. He is the architect. Now, the last two houses that my husband and I, we've lived in, our last house and this house, my husband has pikes come out, and they draw up this huge landscape plan. Pretty, give it to him on this like laminated thing with our house and the yard and all these beautiful plants. And all they do is draw up the plan. They design it. They created it because they have the ability and the know and the wisdom of what is best, what will grow where, what needs sun, what doesn't need sun, what needs a lot of water, what doesn't need as much water. They do that. And then they hand it over to my husband. And guess what Todd's job is? And as I was teaching this message yesterday, I heard a beep, 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 beep. And it was Pikes rolling up my driveway, delivering a whole lot of plants. So guess what Todd's going to do? He's probably going to hire Sydney's boyfriend. He's probably going to get a lot of people to help him. It's so great having a boyfriend because Todd can, you know, he's not handy. So he's like, Connor, come do this. So he's going to get a shovel. And he's going to dig, and he's going to plant. But Todd didn't do the design. Todd is merely the person that has to do the work. Mom, your plan is trumped by God's plan. God is the designer, the architect, the builder of your child. It is up to you to get out the tools and dig and toil and build and plant into whatever God has decided the plan for that child is. He's the builder. You got to settle that once and for all. God, they're your children. You are the builder. It is my job to study the blueprint of my child's heart. And summertime is the great time for those of us who have kids in school to do that. These breaks, these snow days, I about lose my mind because it is an full-on exposure of the blueprint that God has drafted for each one of my kids. And I want some vision into seeing how I need to make this plan, how I can help execute this plan that God has already formed in their little spirits and their personalities and their hearts. He is the blueprint. He is the blueprint giver and the architect. It's my job. It's our job. It's our pleasure to partner with him and help propel his plan, not your plan. It's his plan. Verse 2 says, "It is vain for you to rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil." Here it is, "For he gives to his beloved sleep." Man, this verse right here, in the lens of mothering, is a picture of so many moms. Oh, I gotta get to this practice, and I gotta get to that practice, and I gotta put this person here. And, oh, did I do all my to-do lists? I gotta make dinner. Oh, did they? How are their SATs? Oh, how are the ACTs? Did they get into that college? Did they get on that dance troupe? Did she make it? Did she get a home run? Oh my gosh, that is a mama that is missing the investment of today because you want to be in another season. You are missing the investment of the season you're in because you're anxiously wanting to get out of the season. Mothers that are nursing, I remember with John William, I mean, he'd be mid-flow, and I'd have to get Sydney or Sophie Kate somewhere, and he's like, and I'm like pulling him off. We gotta go. I gotta get anybody else. And it's like, you know, then I got smart, and I started giving him a bottle because it was a lot easier in the car seat just to give him that bottle. But I was, you're rushing because you got more to do. And then moms of toddlers, if you would just be able to be independent, if you could just stop hitting or biting. And then moms of teenagers are like, oh, could you just be an adult? And what that does is it takes away from the season that you are in. It takes you away from the investment that God wants you to make in the season that you're in. Listen, moms, you in the middle of every season, I am here to tell you because I have lived through several seasons. You can mother, you can invest, you can plant from a position of rest. But just as freedom is your choice, rest is your choice. It is pointless. One day, y'all, one day you hear that all the time. The days are long, but the years are short. Y'all, let me tell you, the days are long, but the years are so short. Stop running around anxiously wanting to get out of the current season to get to the next, that you miss the investment that God wants you to participate in. There's an investment to be made in the plan that God has for your kids, which I told you I was going to tell you, Jeremiah 29:11, y'all. The plan God has for each one of your kids, you get to play a part. And I don't know if it's because my daughter is just the oldest. I can see as my kids are getting older, and I know when they're little, it's hard to kind of see possibly, but when they get older, you kind of see their personalities, their bends, what they're like, and you kind of start getting eyes to see possibly the plan that God has for that child. And it's so cool, and you get to be a part of it, because God's plan, not your plan, God's plan for your kids is so beyond what you can think or imagine. He says, "For I know the plans or thoughts I have for you, declares the Lord." This word plans or thought is the Hebrew word makabah. And it means invented means, purpose, plan. God is saying, I have an intended plan for your life. Your babies, God has an intended plan. This is why I think, and I don't want to get political, and this is not my point, but the Parkland shooter, y'all, my daughter showed me a video of just that boy walking into the courtroom, and I burst into tears, and I cried for an hour. I wept for this boy. Listen, he did a horrific thing, awful, not making an excuse for him, but y'all, I can't help but know this boy had a plan for his life. God had a purpose for that life, and never, ever did it get to be put into fruition. Possibly he never had a mom that could partner with the Holy Spirit. The plan for his life was not to do what he did. Lost destiny. When my daughter tells me of some of the choices that some of her friends are making, it grieves my heart. Some of the choices that my own children have made, it grieves my heart. God has a holy plan for their life. I want to be the mom that makes the investment, makes the sacrifice. Trust in that God's plan, as I help partner with him, as I get my position from rest and abiding, as we talked about last week, as I abide in him, I am more apt to understand the plan. I get to partner, and as God says, he has a plan to give you. God doesn't just do the noun part of the plan definition. God has a calculated and invented mean, a purpose, but God says to give you a hope and a future, to grant or to bestow. God has so much he wants to give to our kids. His plan. Again, listen, y'all. Is it possible that college might not be in God's plan for your kid? Is it possible? Listen, my daughter is already committed to Georgia to play softball. But now listen, what if her senior year she comes to her daddy and I and says, I'm going on the mission field because I believe that's what God's plan is. My plan is we're going to Georgia. I've already got the t-shirts. We go to all the games. I'm telling you, I'm ready to be yelling. I am a loud, just ask her hitting coach that's sitting right over there nursing her baby. I am a noxious mama on the softball field. It will crush me because my plan is I am a Georgia softball mom. I don't even like Georgia, but I like Georgia softball. But y'all, I've got to submit myself to God's plan. You might have a plan, an executed plan for your kid. And I'm rushing. That's my last point. So anyway, God's got an amazing plan. Stop rushing away the season you're in. You're missing the investment. Okay, now my favorite part of this scripture, verses 3 and 4. Children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Your sons born in your youth are a protection like arrows in the hand of a warrior. If you were back at the Y, Shannon and Amber, I gave, because there was a lot less of us back at the Y, I was able, I bought these arrowheads as a representation of our children being our arrows. So I gave them all these arrows. And as I've studied arrows, because the Bible talks about our kids being arrows, there are lots of different arrowheads. And some of you have husbands that shoot bows and all that kind of stuff, so you know this. But there's lots of different types of arrowheads. And all the arrowheads are different, y'all. They're fashioned for different targets. And they're sharpened and fashioned according to the target that they're meant to hit. So listen, all your arrows in your house have a different target. All of them. I'm seeing it now. My middle schooler, you know, my oldest went through my middle school's same middle school. And having Sophie Kate go through middle school with Sydney going through middle school, it was so different. So different. Sophie Kate is in no trouble. Like, Sydney spent her whole middle school years in trouble with girls because, unlike, just like her mama, she runs her mouth a lot and she's very bold. Sophie Kate doesn't get in trouble with anybody because she's like her daddy. She's a peacemaker. Everybody loves her. Wish I could be more like that. So this is a different arrowhead. And then Lord love my little John William, the mouth of the South. See, I already know God, I know your plan for him, God. He's going to be a lawyer. Because that kid can argue and tell you his plan for what you've just told him the plan was. He's got his own version of the plan. No, remember, we obey all the way, right away, and with a happy heart. And it's mommy's way, not your way. You're 10. But so every one of my arrows, I have to fashion a little different. But when I studied the arrows, there's one particular arrowhead that I am believing my vision for every one of my arrows to be is the broadhead arrow. Write that down. The broadhead arrow. And let me tell you why I love the broadhead arrow. And I'm believing every one of my babies will be like the broadhead arrow. It is because the broadhead arrow is fashioned for war. It is fashioned for war. And I believe the culture, the environment that our children, y'all, are going to grow up in, it scares me to death if I will allow myself to live in fear. But I don't. I live in freedom. But I can go there really quick. The culture our babies, y'all, are going to grow up in, they have got to be fashioned for war. They've got to be fashioned for war. So you and I have to do our job. We only get 18 years, y'all. We only get 18 years. And again, listen, there's no condemnation. Start today. You start fashioning those arrows. You start forming, asking God, I want you to help me know. God, I want to get into your blueprint of their hearts and your plan. Because y'all, once they're released, and I have 2 more years for my oldest, once she's released, her course is launched, and she's released from my quiver, I'm believing for maximum kingdom impact. That is my vision. I want my children, my arrows, once released, to have maximum kingdom impact. In verse 5, how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be humiliated when he is accused at the gate, for his sons will stand with him against his enemies. Now the gate here in Scripture, it is a representation of where enemies tried to take land. They always came to the gate. It was a place where adversaries met. And it says he will not be put to shame. And in the lens of mothering, this is what I feel the Holy Spirit would say to us. As we tap into this vision and this plan that God has, and as we, as moms, participate, because y'all, that is the charge today. God is simply asking us to participate in the plan that is already laid out for your babies. He just wants you to participate. He doesn't want you to create the plan. He just wants you to participate in his plan. And I believe once you and I do that, do you understand the backing that comes with that? It's like an officer that walks in here. You can have an officer walk in here and you might not think anything about it, but that officer walks in here and shows his badge, and what do? Yes, sir. That's what I believe God arms with our kids. I believe God draws a no trespassing sign on our property line. Those bad influences, the culture, the pervading sexual stuff that's coming at our kids. I believe as you and I participate in the plan God has, I believe God draws one of those snake lines. It said just no trespassing, not on my property. God backs every effort you do in your home, mom. You are not alone. Your husband might not be a believer. Some of you have husbands that don't support you in pouring the Bible into your kids. But your heavenly Father backs you. And I know that's tough. I grew up in a home with my mom did it by herself. My father was not a believer in Jesus till his 89th year. So my mama did it alone. But my mama knew who backed her efforts. God backs your efforts. Now listen, I am not telling you today to put your trust in your plan or even in the doing of a plan. Some of you type A personalities, you have taken notes today and you have made a checklist of every A, B, C, D thing that you're gonna go home and do. Listen, no. I am simply motivating you today. I am the Holy Spirit shot in your arm today. It's his voice that you hear telling you, you trust in my plan, and I'll let you participate in my plan. Because Proverbs 19:21 says this, a person may have many ideas concerning God's plan for his life, but only the designs of his purpose will succeed in the end. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some find their strength in their weapons and their wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord, our God, who makes us strong, mom, and gives us victory. Listen, our plans that we have laid out for our kids can get messed up. Let me just give you a few of mine. Sydney had a fifth grade teacher one time, and I've already given y'all a lot of insight into my little Sydney. Some of you seen her here leading worship. She is a fireball, a lot of passion, a lot of fire like her mom, and I'm teaching her to have more salt than fire, more wisdom than fire. And she had this fifth grade teacher, and Sydney's the kind of kid, you either love her or she gets on your nerves. And some of you, I already probably get on your nerves. I had a mom not a couple sessions back tell me that her friend looked at her and said, she needs to calm down. Hey, it's okay. It's not me up here. It's Jesus. So Jesus, calm down. I've got sweat rolling down my back and everything. So Sydney had this fifth grade teacher. And Sydney, again, that kind of kid. And I'm kind of one of these parents. I love school and, you know, I think school's great, but I'm not at school all the time. And so we pray for our teachers. Some of you do that. I pray for my kids' teachers every year before school starts and just trust that the Lord will put them with the teacher. So Sydney got this teacher and I was at school a couple times and I just knew that this teacher did not like my daughter. I just knew it. I could just tell she got on her nerves. And I'm not really Mama Bear, but by the third or fourth time Sydney would tell me things, I was kind of like, well, I am going to write a note, and I'm getting her out of that class. That was my plan. This is not the teacher she's supposed to have. I need to interject myself. Anybody else, Mama? Mama needs to interject herself. Oh, God, I know who you are, but do you know who I am? So I was going to interject myself into God's plan because Mama knows how to do his plan better. And I had a staying power by the Holy Spirit that resisted me. Thank you, Lord. I say this lately. I told my sister this. His sovereignty trumps our stupidity. Hallelujah. And in this situation, his sovereignty trumped my stupidity and my mama bear. And so I didn't. I resisted. I obeyed. A rare time, I obeyed. And do you know at that class party at the end of the year, that teacher came up to me and she said, I just want you to know that your child has opened my eyes back to faith in Jesus. And I am back loving and serving Jesus because of your child. Wrote her a note and everything. It ain't about your plan, Mom. It ain't about your plan. Don't you interject yourself in a plan that God has already put forth. Now, there will be times that God says, absolutely, go advocate. But often more times than not, God simply tells you, you sit back and you intercede and you pray. Another thing, you young mamas over here, I'm talking to y'all. I've had to eat a lot of crow. There's three words that I just want you to put on your list to not say to your friends. I will never. Write that down. Because y'all, sometimes God's plan isn't all about your kids. I'm telling, Sydney, softball is absolutely a platform that God has given you not to make Sydney Chambley's name famous. Y'all, it ain't about making your name famous. It's about making God's name famous through your kids. If they're good at football, praise God, but it ain't about them. It's about God putting them on the football team to glorify him. If your daughter's good at dance, that's great. But guess what, Mom? Those dance moms need you. It ain't always about your kid. God's plan is bigger. Look, Matthew 18, 12, he goes after the one lost sheep, and sometimes he uses your kid. You know that kid in the classroom that cusses real bad, that sits by your kids, that you're trying to get moved? God needs your kid to sit by that kid. Stop trying to move them. Y'all, Jesus spent his whole life engaging the people most of us have spent our whole lives trying to run from. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is your counselor, and if there's some kid that's cussing on the bus beside your 10-year-old like John William had, John William, he just looked at him and said, you don't say those kind of words. Sometimes you just need to let them be and trust God. And stop saying you'll never. Listen, Sydney will never have a boyfriend till she gets to college. That was my plan and Todd's plan. And listen, I have had some precious mamas that have judged me for allowing her to have a boyfriend. Not only a boyfriend, but a 19-year-old boyfriend. Wasn't my plan. And for 8 months, this sweet little boy pursued my daughter, and she was pursuing him back, but they were not going to disrespect their parents. Todd and I were like, no, he's a junior. No, Sydney, you're a freshman. No. And then finally, the Lord said, open your gate. This ain't just about Sydney. Let that boy in. And y'all, her daddy resisted for a long time. But even now, Daddy has softened up to this boy and the investment that we're making in this boy and the investment that this boy is making in our family. Don't say you will never. Had she been off to college with her first boyfriend, y'all, do you understand? I will tell y'all in private some of the things that we talk about. Me, her, and her boyfriend talk about. Our relationship has gone to a whole nother level, y'all. But I was against it. My plan was no boyfriend till college. God said, my plan is she's going to have this boyfriend right now because I'm going to do some work in her heart, your heart, her daddy's heart, her boyfriend's heart, his mama's sitting right here. Y'all, God's plan is bigger than your kid. God doesn't promise to make you happy all the time or your kids happy. God's purpose is to make them holy. And God is making me holier through this whole process of a boyfriend. You don't know what God will do. Every day, His mercies are new every morning. Tap into the mercies of God and trust Him that they're going to sustain you for whatever the day, the season holds. Vision looks at God's plan and says, this might not be good. And this might not feel good right now, God. But I know it's for good. That's what a vision looks like. It looks at God's plan and it says, this might not be good. This don't feel good right now, but God, I know it's for good. And mom, that vision is what will hold you through the seasons of your mothering that are hard and tiring and weary and when the plan goes haywire. Because my vision for my kids is God's plan to trump my plan. There were three bricklayers working beside each other on a wall. Someone came up to the first one and said, what are you doing? What it looks like I'm doing, he replied sarcastically, I'm laying bricks. The man asked the next guy on the wall what he was doing. He said, can't you see what I'm doing? I am building a wall. Then the last man was asked what he was doing. He exclaimed, I'm building a great cathedral for God. You're tired, mama. You're weary. You are building a great work in your home. He just wants you to jump in and participate in that work. Would you stand with me? We're going to do something. We're going to close a little differently today. I'll ask the prayer leaders after this time of prayer, just you can be released, go if you need prayer today. But I want us to do something. The Holy Spirit wants us to do something a little different. I want you to grab your sister's hand as the music starts to play. And I just want y'all... We're going to enter into a time of prayer, and I'm going to pray. But I'm going to be quiet for a few minutes, and I want you just to call out every one of your children by name in a whisper before the Lord. And I just want you to see yourself surrendering that child to God's good plan for them. I just want you to physically see yourself, just literally, I want you to picture Jesus in this moment. I want you to picture however you see God. He looks like my grandfather to me. Big jean jacket, because my grandfather just loved me when he saw me. I didn't need to do anything to earn his approval. He'd say, come here, Sugarfoot, with his chew of tobacco right here. And that's when I picture Daddy God, that's what I see. So I just want you to picture God, whatever He looks like to you. And I just want you to see yourself literally, physically putting that baby. They may be 6'4", 285 pounds, or they may be that little baby. I want you just to picture yourself putting that baby in the very capable hands of a God that has a plan that is so much bigger for them. And I want you to say their name out loud. So Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God, You are the three in one. God, we are honored, humbled, Man, God, that we can even call on that name. God, the overwhelming presence of God in this place. Lord, how are you even here? You know what I've done. You know my past. But God, you still love me. You still see me. God, the overwhelming presence of your magnificence, Lord, it's just, I can't even fathom that you meet with us and you are here in this moment. So right now, Father God, we just commit our babies, God, and I'm going to give us some time. We're just going to say their names. God, we commit. I commit, Lord. Cindy, Sophie Kay, John William, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we put those children, God, in your very capable arms. God, we surrender our plans for their lives, God. We surrender our agenda and what we think is best, God. And we trust, God, in the purposes of God. We trust in the purposes of God for our kids, Lord. God, we believe that your plan for them is better than our plan. And we tell you that this morning, God. Where we have resisted your plan, God, where we have not understood your plan, where we have thought we could do your plan better. God, give us the vision today that says, I trust your plan, even if I don't trust your heart, God. I trust your plan. Help me learn to trust your heart. God, may we be as David. It was said of David in Acts 13:36. May it be for our children as it was for David. They said, we all know David died and rested, was reduced to dust after he served God's purpose in his generation. God, we are asking that our babies will serve your purpose in their generation. Whatever that looks like for our individual babies, God. May they serve the purposes of God for their generation. That today, may that be our eagle vision. Great schools are great. Great jobs and incomes are great, but that doesn't mean squat in eternity's eyes. God, may we, these mamas listening and here in this room, may our vision be that our babies served God in their generation. They served your purposes. But God, get us out of the way. Get me out of the way. Get us out of the way, God. Help us to intercede more than we advocate. Help us to intercede more than we advocate. And help us to trust that the plans of God are bigger and better than the plans we have. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.